How many times has someone gone to your website or your social because somebody mentioned your name at a soccer game, at the grocery store, at church, wherever, and said like, oh yeah, so-and-so just sold us our house. And somebody quickly looked at your page and then forgot about you. You've got to instantly show why you're different than everybody else. So you've got to create those super fans one transaction at a time, one sell at a time. And when you do that, you will create super fans.
Hey everyone, welcome to No Like Trust for Real Estate, where I help you craft branding and marketing strategies that align with your unique strengths. Agents who work with me grow their business on average by 40% by aligning their marketing with who they are, not what they sell. And today we're talking all about super fans. I'm super excited to have Brittany Hodak with me today. We had an incredible conversation, lots of laughs, and she gave some amazing examples of how you can differentiate yourself and create an amazing customer experience so that you increase your referral business and you create super fans. Brittany, in case you didn't know, is an unbelievable entrepreneur. Well, I think she became pretty well known when she was on Shark Tank, and she's going to talk all about that. You'll hear that. She got an amazing 2-for-1 offer from two of the sharks. She has since sold that business, and she is an author and a speaker. She's just incredible. And so I cannot wait for you to meet her. I cannot wait for you to hear about how to create super fans, and take a listen and let me know what you think. Brittany, I'm so super excited to have you here. I have a list of questions, but I know my audience is going to want to know first and foremost about your experience with Shark Tank. Can you just start and tell us about that? Because you're kind of a little bit like a celebrity as it relates to that.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you. You're being very kind. I'm certainly not a celebrity, but I absolutely can tell you about it because I think there are so many principles that are so aligned with real estate. And that's, I didn't apply to be on Shark Tank. I got a call one day from a casting producer who had read about my business and said, you should come on the show. And obviously, as real estate agents, that's what we want. We want people who see us not as a commodity provider, but a category of one, who call us and say, hey, I heard you were the best, or my friend said that you're amazing and I want to work with you. And so that is one thing that was kind of unique about my experience is Sometimes people say, you know, what was the application process like, or what was this or that? And we were incredibly fortunate that for me, the process was answering the phone and saying, sure, I want to come on Shark Tank. That sounds like a lot of fun. And then flying to LA to do the show. In terms of the actual experience on the show, another unique thing. So I knew from talking to people who had been on the show that you're recording for about an hour, but they cut it down to 8 minutes. And so going in, I was trying to be as intentional as I could about like, what do I need to do to get the most favorable edit? How do I get the best 8 minutes or 10 minutes? And so I had this crazy idea that if I never stopped smiling the whole time I was talking, it would be hard for them to have an edit of anything, you know, confrontational or argumentative, yes, because I would just look like a crazy person if I was smiling like this saying, no, Mark Cuban, you're wrong. And this is what I'm talking about. And it was a risk because I also knew that they filmed more episode segments than they ultimately aired. So a lot of people go in front of the sharks, they, you know, leave thinking that they're going to get a deal. And then the production company or the network decides not to air it. And then their deal goes away. And then they've like put in all this effort. Yep. So they fly more people to LA than they actually film. So when you're in LA, you're like sequestered waiting to find out if you're going to go in front of the sharks or not. But there's some people who just like never get to present. And then there's a bunch of people, I think it's as much as like 20% of the people who present never actually have their episode air. So it's like these multiple levels of you've got to make it.
Yeah. Not only did you make it, you guys got and accepted an offer.
We did. We accepted an offer, although here's the other crazy part. So we accepted this offer. We realized pretty quickly once we got into the due diligence period that we did not want to go through with the offer, that the terms were, it would have been nice to have investors, but we cared much more about the people than the money because we were doing 8 figures at the time in sales at Walmart stores. Yeah. So it was a nice to have, not a need to have. And as we got into it, we were like, this is not exactly the relationship or the, you know, basically like they've got 75 other businesses they've got minority stakes in. We're not getting these are not like advisors that we're getting. This is, you know, like an equity deal. But then we had to keep it going because if you back out of your deal before your episode airs, they won't air your episode. Because like they don't want people to go on the show and do it for exposure, but then not actually have the business. So we filmed in September. Our episode didn't air until the end of April. So we had this very long runway of like, will we, won't we? Let's, you know, we were just like trying to slow walk it as much as we could because we knew ultimately we probably didn't want to do the deal, which we didn't know that until we got into the due diligence. Like we legitimately were excited, left the room thinking we've got new business partners. This is amazing. But then it sort of became clear it wasn't, you know, it's like when you agree to get married on the first date and then you're like, wait, what did we sign up for? Is this what we thought it was? So that was then a very long period of trying to like stretch it out as long as possible. And then it finally aired. And then the thing that I didn't think about at the time, because we were, you know, we were trying to prepare for, we knew it would be millions of people watching. So we knew it would be hundreds of thousands of people on our website. And it was, I think we had like 500,000 people on our website in like a 10-minute period.
Oh my God.
But we did not think about the fact that it was going to just like keep airing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever all over the world. So I still, 10 years later, can look at my website, which isn't even the business website anymore because I've sold that business. And now it just like redirects to a page on my personal website, Brittany Hodak. But like thousands of people will hit my website still 10 years later. And I can look at my Google Analytics and tell you like, oh, it aired in Croatia. Oh, it aired in Australia. No oh, it aired way. In Canada. Yeah, like the Philippines, it must air a lot in the Philippines because there'll be spikes. It'll be like, you know, there's like one person from the Philippines on my website a day. And then it'll be like 1,800 people from the Philippines. And then 3 weeks later, 900 people from the Philippines. Like you can actually see where it's airing and it's in syndication. Well, not necessarily my episode anymore because it's been 10 years, but the show Shark Tank is in syndication in over 100 different countries.
That is just crazy.
So it's wild.
You know, it sort of doesn't surprise me, although, you know, it's amazing how they make not just Shark Tank, but, you know, any production, they make it look so much bigger than and so much more, you know, amazing than what it actually ends up being. But I thought you and your partner were amazing. My husband and I watched it the other day. My husband and my son and I watch it off and on, you know, Shark Tank. And so when I was able to pull it up on Hulu and watched it, and it was just so fun. You guys were polished and like not nervous at all. And I was hoping for Mark.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like part of the reason you decided to move forward without the sharks, because you got a you know, two for the price of one, was because of people. And essentially, you know, that's what you talk about in your book is creating super fans, which essentially are people. So, and that's how you started, right? Like that was the whole premise of your business. So let's actually start with that and tell me, you know, what was the moment or the experience that got you to realize like that customer experience was a thing?
I am so lucky because I grew up with a dad who prioritized customer experience over everything. My dad was a restaurant manager when I was a kid. He managed the Long John Silver's in our town. And I thought that was the coolest job and the best job and the most important job because I saw how much everybody on his team loved him. I saw how much all of his customers loved him. He knew all of their names. He knew all of their families. He knew all of their jobs. And it was just so cool. So I got a front row seat to that. And then a few years later, when I was in like junior high school, my dad worked at a car dealership, first as a salesman. And then because he was like so beloved, like he basically, all the other sales guys didn't like him because nobody wanted to work with anybody but my dad. And so then he became their first customer service manager. And he was like, okay, well, I can love on all the customers since that's what he was kind of doing anyway. And he started the customer service department at the dealership. And I worked there, you know, here and there in high school and college, sort of like summer breaks and when I was around, and he would pay me a little bit. But what was so cool was to get to see all of the marketing programs he was running and all of the retention plans that he had and all of the really cool stuff that was very very opposite of sort of the pop media archetype of like, oh, used car salespeople, or like, oh, like buying a car is so terrible. Like all these things that you would hear sort of in pop culture. And what I knew firsthand was how much people loved shopping at my dad's dealership, how much they loved him, how much they loved people. And I just always thought that was a really fascinating juxtaposition of like what the narrative said, but then what I knew customers felt and believed to be true and saw to be true. And so I think that's probably subconsciously what sparked it. But honestly, it wasn't until like decades later when I realized that everything I was doing in the entertainment space, like trying to help people create these super fans, trying to help artists better connect with their audiences, was exactly the same thing that every business owner was trying to do, which is, how do I get customers to choose me instead of someone else? How do I get someone to love my brand so much that they want to tell their friends about it? And then come back again and again and again.
That's awesome. You tell stories like that throughout your book, which I absolutely love. And I love, there's actually one part in your book, I can't remember, I think it was towards the beginning, where you talked about changing the origin story based on who you're talking about. Actually, now that we're talking about that, talk about that a little bit. Talk about the origin story.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I always say to real estate agents, and I don't say this to be a jerk, I say this because it's something that like people I want to hear. So when I first started speaking to real estate audiences, the thing that people would lead with and say to me again and again and again is like, I've got 20,000 people in my database. I've got 40,000 people in my database. I've got 18,000 people in my database. And what I would always say is, cool. How many houses did you sell last year?
Yeah.
Like, how many people found you last year? And the truth is, I don't care how many people you have in your database. I care how many people have you in theirs.
Oh,
that is the number that I care about. That is what I want to know. How many people, after meeting you, said, wow, they're awesome. I'm going to save this number in my phone. This is a contact card that I need, because anytime I meet anybody who's going to list their home, who's looking for a new home, who wants to move, who has a question, I want to be able to say, you've got to talk to Joey. So that is the number that I care about. How many people are saving you in their phone?
Brilliant.
Are you easier to refer than you are to forget? And that is the question.
Yeah.
And if you want to be easier to refer than you are to forget, if you want people to save your information, to open your emails, to answer when you call, to like not throw away the stuff that you're sending to their house, you have got to separate yourself from the other like millions of realtors who are saying similar things to you.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is with your origin story. You've got to give them a compelling reason to care. Because if you don't, in absence of proof that they should care, what do? They don't. They tune out. They're apathetic. They do not care. You are literally like a person wearing red and white in a Where's Waldo puzzle. You have got to prove to them that you are Waldo. And like right now, they don't think you're Waldo. Because guess what? Their college roommate is also in real estate. Mm-hmm. Their husband's best friend's doctor, like, I don't know, like everybody can name 20 real estate agents that they know, right?
Yep.
Just because I know you does not mean you are the best person to help me with the most important decision and most important purchase I am going to make this year. Maybe biggest purchase I'm going to make my whole life, right? Like, it's not enough that I know that you were fun when we were in college. It's not enough that I know that our kids play on a team together. Mm-hmm. I have to have confidence in you being so good at this thing that I want to give you 6% of my money. Like, 100%. That is the bar.
100%.
And the way you do that is with compelling stories.
So let's actually talk about your framework, your super framework, which is really essentially what the framework for your book, which I thought, it was just brilliant. I mean, I loved reading your book. I'm probably going to go back and read it again, because it just was, first of all, the examples that you gave, the framework made it so easy to remember. And it's all stuff that we as professionals should know. It's intuitive, but it was just such a great reminder and such a really simple framework for us to remember and implement. So talk about that. Talk about the super framework.
Well, thank you for saying that. And, you know, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted something that would be almost deceptively simple of these are the things that matter. These are the things that you need to do. Here's why you should do them. And here's how that you should do them. Because I'm like 99% sure I have ADHD. I've never been diagnosed. And it's funny, I was joking to my husband, it feels almost cruel of like how hard it is to get diagnosed with ADHD as someone with ADHD. I'm like, okay, so I have to like find a doctor, make an appointment, go to that appointment, take it. There's like, I'm like, unsubscribe. Like, absolutely not, right? Like the fact that I am overwhelmed by like finding out if I have ADHD, probably a very strong indicator that I likely do. And so for someone whose brain works like my brain, I want someone to like break it down. I'm like, just tell me what to do. Like, tell me the things, because we've been told to do 1,000 things and like maybe a lot of them are important. I don't know. But like, what does all of this mean? Like, I just want someone to make it simple. And so thank you for saying that, because that is what I tried to do with this framework. I tried to distill all of the things that I know to be true and impactful into a formula that's simple to follow, simple to teach your team, and most importantly, simple to remember, like to call yourself out on like, am I doing the super thing instead of the standard thing? Like, am I creating super fans? And so this is the framework. It spells out the word super so that, again, it's like easy to remember. But the S is start with your story. For all the reasons that we've already been talking about, like, why are you the person that I should choose? Why should I remember you? Why should I come back to you? You know, we know, like, if you look at the NAR statistics, almost everyone says, like, I'll work with my realtor again, or I'll recommend my realtor to a friend. Like 80-something, 90% of some people, depending on if you're looking at buyers or sellers, right? Like, almost everyone says that. But then we know that a very small minority of people actually do work with their real estate agent again, or use a real estate agent that was referred by a friend, right? Why? Why is that disconnect? I don't think it's because people lie. Go ahead.
It is not lost on me that you did your homework before getting on this podcast, but okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I have been guilty of like the CVS clerk says, will you take the survey on this receipt? And I say yes, and then I don't. Yep. It's not because I meant to lie in that moment. It's because life is going to life. Yeah. There are going to be things that happen. There are going to be things that distract us and get in our way. And that's why in the book, I talk about the single biggest threat that's not on nearly enough people's radar, but absolutely needs to be, especially for every real estate agent listening to this podcast, is the idea of apathy. People who just don't care enough to keep caring. They don't save you in their phone. They don't remember you. They like stop engaging with the things, because those are the people who don't work with you again. Not only are they not going to work with you again, but more importantly, they're not going to send their friends and family to you. Yeah. And oftentimes it's because the experience was fine. It was forgettable. It was okay, right?
Yep.
Like, they got the house, they moved in, closing happened on the day it was supposed to. Guess what, friends? That is not success. That is literally the lowest possible bar to clear.
Yeah.
Like, being great at all of the details is not the job. And like, that's not how you get like an A+ at the job. That's like the bare minimum to be able to do the job. It's everything on top of that. I heard a real estate agent, I wish I could remember her name. This was an event that I did a few months ago, and it's really an idea. And I hate that I don't know the name to give her credit. She was at a real estate company called Fathom Realty. Mm-hmm. She told me that she has contracts that she has developed for elementary age kids and then junior high school age kids. And when she goes for a listing appointment and she locks in that contract with mom and dad, she looks at the kids and says, guys, you're entering into a contract with me too. You are going to agree to keep your stuff picked up, make your bed, not give mom and dad a hard time when they tell you that we've got to be home Tuesday. We got to, you know, there's a showing and you can't, like all the things, right? Like that kids have the emotional response to and mom and dad have to like deal with.
Yes.
She's like, here's the deal. You are entering into this contract, and if you abide by these terms, when your house sells, you get to pick one of these things as your reward for upholding your end of the bargain.
Are you kidding me?
Isn't that amazing? And so then things are like, she said the teenagers always choose. It's like a $200 Target gift card, right? And it's like, you're going to use the Target gift card to like, you know, buy stuff for your new room. Or one of the things was she would take them to the Sherwin-Williams store and they could pick out the paint color that they wanted together. So she has contracts. And then now mom and dad have leverage to be like, you know, Jody, pick up your stuff, or you're not going to, you know, get that contract to like you signed with Miss Nancy.
Yes.
And then also like everybody shares, and she literally like has them sign it. And it's like their contract, just like their listing agreement with the mom and dad. And she's like, I get so many people who share that on social media, who then, of course, if you know somebody who's moving that has kids, you're obviously going to be like, you need to list with, again, I don't think her name is Nancy, but like just little things like that, that is your job. Your job is to figure out how you can be so memorable, how you can do something that is so on brand for you, that is so aligned with what you care about and the experience that you're creating, that's your thing. Like I had another agent tell me, she's a, is it birder? Is that what you call somebody that's like really into birds? Okay. Yeah. A birder. And so she gets really excited when she has clients who are birders, and her go-to gift, depending on if it's like an older couple, she has this vendor on Etsy that will make a birdhouse that looks like their house. So as the closing gift, it's like a birdhouse that looks like a miniature version of the house, and she'll put it on a pole in the front yard. So smart. And then she's like, when it's like Gen Z, millennial, like even Gen Xers that move in, she buys them a Bird Buddy, which, oh my God, I'm obsessed with my Bird Buddy.
I have been seeing those on my Instagram feed nonstop. I want one of those.
Buy it. It's the best, Christine. You will not. I have it and I am obsessed with it. And so I've got two little boys and every single day we look at it. So I can tell you, yesterday we had 7 visits from 5 different birds. We had our cardinal, we had our song sparrow. We actually had our 2 cardinals. We've got the girl whose name is Fluffy. And then we've got the boy who's the red one. It's so much fun. It will actually recognize the individual birds. So my boys, we have, there's a bird called a bluebird, which I didn't even know bluebirds were a thing. They're so pretty. They're blue and they've got like a little bit of red in them.
Yeah.
So we have a bluebird named Bluey who comes to visit us all the time.
Oh my God, with your little boys.
Christine, I'm telling you, you will not get the one with the solar roof. And then there's like no maintenance. You just have to like wash it out once a month to make sure the birds don't get sick from the food. Solar roof, Bird Buddy. I have Santa'd that to several people and it is so much fun. And then like all of my, like my cousins and my friends and my mom, and I'll share the postcards with people because you get like the little recaps and you can, it's like little videos and pictures. So anyway, I'm sorry I've derailed this, but for everybody out there, like make the closing gift for everybody that you do a deal with in 2026, a Bird Buddy, listeners.
But that's like the P, that's the personalized. We got to go back to S.
So S is start with your story. And when I say start with your story, I don't mean lead with your story. I mean, what is it that makes you uniquely you? Yeah. And how are you leaning into that to attract the right kind of clients? And one of the things that I hear real estate agents say sometimes is, I don't like to talk about myself. I don't want to talk about myself. It feels really self-centered. It feels really selfish. And I get that. Like, believe it or not, I don't love talking about myself either. I hate being the center of attention, which is so ironic because of my job.
I get it.
But if you don't tell people about you, you're doing them a huge disservice because they're going to end up with somebody else. Yeah. They might end up with somebody who cares less, who is less experienced, who is not going to do as good a job simply because those people weren't afraid to raise their hand and say, you should work with me because.
I think there's a difference between what you're saying and what I think real estate agents do a lot. And that is, you know, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves with my client, not my clients. My clients don't really do this, but agents in particular, they go out there and they say, oh, I've done like, you know, 100 deals and 300 million in sales and I'm the top agent and da 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 da. Nobody cares about that stuff. In fact, I think that turns people away because they think either A, you're making too much money, or B, you're too busy for me.
Can I tell you my pet peeve that I see all the time from real estate agents?
Yes.
And I'm connected to a lot of real estate agents that I don't really know, but they've been in the audience at some point in the past. And so I see this on all of my feeds. I do not understand, and I do not see this in any other industry, but I see it so much in real estate, somewhat with like mortgage, but I feel like real estate more. It's like every real estate agent, not every, that's a gross mischaracterization. Many real estate agents.
Yep.
It seems like they have a chip on their shoulders if they want to like prove how valuable they are and how important they are to the transaction and how absolutely stupid anybody would be to ever try to do a deal without them. And so they post these things talking down to and about clients.
Yep.
like this stupid client who, you know, we went back 85 times over $10,000 and like it took me this many hours and this many whatever. Like I see so much of that online where people are basically posting saying like, this is how hard the job is. This is how, you know, how hard it is, or complaining like, you know, people, I've given up 48 weekends this year to do showings. Well, yeah, congratulations on having a job. Like all have jobs too. Yeah. Like that is the job.
Yeah.
Don't create content that is appealing to other real estate agents. Like I feel like there's this thing where kind of it's like a tit for tat, like, oh, you know, I did this, I did that. And it devolves very quickly into what sounds like you're talking down to clients or about clients, saying like, oh, all of these dummies who think they're, you know, so smart with their for sale by owner, here's what they don't realize, or here's what they don't that. And maybe that's going to get you likes from other real estate agents, but it's going to turn off so many people. And I see this all the time.
Wow.
And like, don't do that. It's like it puts up a wall between you and any prospect that makes you seem not only like unkind and unapproachable, but like somebody who might roll their eyes or talk bad. Like if you're talking bad about any hypothetical client, like you could be talking bad about them.
Exactly.
I read a statistic a couple months ago from Microsoft, and they were talking about the things that people like about AI. And I can't remember the numbers, but it was like huge, huge, huge majority of people who actually use AI. The two things that they said about why they loved it were, number one, I can ask as many questions as I want without annoying somebody or feeling bad.
Oh, jeez.
And number two, I can ask as many follow-ups as possible without feeling like I'm being judged. And I thought that was really interesting, but I felt like it was so much more of an indictment on humans than like a vote of confidence in AI, right? It was like, I can do this without being judged, or I can do this without feeling like I'm annoying. And like anytime you're in any service industry, but especially one where people should not be expected to know what they don't know, like that is the job. The job is to answer the questions and not act annoyed. Exactly. Like you, that, like that is the role. And anytime you're posting content that could even be perceived as slightly like othering clients 100%. From the professionals, like just don't do it. Even if the 36 other realtors that you're connected with are going to like it, you could rub one potential client the wrong way and it's not worth it.
So how would they take their story then and integrate it in a way that makes sense?
Well, I think one really great thing to do is ask all of your clients who really like you, like, hey, what do you say about a friend to me? Like if you were going to recommend me to one of your friends, like what would you say? What would you tell them? Because oftentimes you'll hear such amazing answers from a perspective that you maybe don't see because you're in it. You're like too close to it. And they'll say things like, oh, you really, you know, helped me with this, or you really went above and beyond when you did that, or I love that you did whatever. And you may know some of these things already. Like maybe you love interior design and one of your superpowers is that you can take anybody into an empty or unstaged house and show them all the potential. Maybe your background is in carpentry and you can say like, you know, you can do this addition, or you, you know, can super serve flippers, like whatever it is, right? Maybe you're a community organizer and you know everything, not just like what it says online about the school districts, but you're like, oh, this has the festivals every week and the parades, and this is the best, you know, shop, whatever, like whatever your interests are, whatever that thing is that you love, that's the intersection of the stories that you should be telling as it relates to why you're a perfect partner for real estate, because that's going to help you attract more of those people. Maybe your story is that you've never moved. Maybe you've lived in the same zip code your whole life and you're like, nobody knows this town better than me because I have spent 57 years here.
Yeah.
Or maybe you are a military brat and you lived in 35 different places before you bought your first house. Then maybe your story is, I know how important home is because I had a new one every 6 months.
Yeah.
And I help every single family find a place that's going to center them and make them rooted and feel like whatever. Maybe you move to the state from a different state and there's lots of other people moving from that state to the state. Like whatever your thing is, by telling that story, you're going to attract not just more of that ideal customer, but more people who hear your story and relate to it, even if the details don't match them exactly. Yeah. One of the things I say in the book is, you know, like the really great paradox of country music and really any storytelling, but country music songwriting is one where it's really easy to relate to this is the more specific a lyric, the more universal its appeal will be. Because when you hear somebody...
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, when you hear somebody sing about their hometown, you think about your hometown. Yes. When you hear somebody talk about their kids or grandkids, you think about your kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews or other kids in your life. So you've got to have specificity in the stories that you tell. If you could take your name off your website and it would be potentially anybody else's website, that is a problem. Like, okay. I loved so much, Christine, when I went to your website, when I was on Post and Beam Creative, I was like, this is brilliant. It's beautiful. The colors are so nice. The stories are so clear. Like, you could feel the personality. I felt like I knew you. And that doesn't always happen when you go to somebody's website and it's just like rinse and repeat. Again, like, where's Waldo, right? So you've got to put work into, like, I think the hardest number to quantify, it's impossible to quantify, right? Like, I don't think anybody could really measure this. How many times has someone gone to your website or your social because somebody mentioned your name at a soccer game, at the grocery store, at church, wherever, and said like, oh yeah, so-and-so just sold us our house. And somebody quickly looked at your page and then forgot about you. They forgot your name. And by the time they got home, instead of being like, oh, let me just text Jamie again to ask her, it's easier to find somebody else.
Yeah.
So you've got to make instantly, like, this is, even if I don't have time to like, go into it right now, I'm going to screenshot it so I don't forget. You've got to instantly show why you're different than everybody else.
That's so important. I actually use that analogy with my clients. I say, if you can put your name, take your name off of whatever it is, your brand, your social media, your website, whatever it is, and anybody else could put it on there, then you're not doing service to your business or your brand. And so I thank you for saying that. I mean, as you know, like, you look at your own stuff a million times and you're like, is this, it just all blurs after a while. And you're like, I'm not sure if I'm even communicating properly. So thank you for saying that. And I also think as it relates to that, and I say this to clients all the time too, your website as a real estate agent these days is essentially your calling card. You know, people are not going there to search. Take the search off of your website. It's too expensive anyways. They're going to Redfin and Zillow. Just deal with it. They want to know about you, and your website is the perfect place to tell your story. So, okay, after S comes
you, which is understand their story, understand your customer story. So it's essentially, are you showing that you care about what they care about, that you want to do the things that are right for your customer? You're meeting them where they're at. You're anticipating their needs and showing up for them in a way that makes them feel like the most important client you've ever served.
Love it. I love it. And you have so many quotes in the book that appeal perfectly to each part. And I forget, they don't care until you care. What's that quote, Brittany?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I forget what
it is. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
How much you care. That's what it is. Yes. I love that quote. That's so good.
Yeah. Such a good quote.
Okay. After you.
After you comes P, and that stands for personalize. And all of these build on each other. They're like nesting dolls. So each one is designed to really like lead next into the next one. So P stands for personalize, and that's all about the high tech and the high touch ways that you can create the highest degree of impact with those customers. So it's really connecting your story to theirs.
And we talked a little bit about that.
We did, yeah. So like the Bird Buddy or the custom closing gifts. I actually, one of my favorite things that I put together every year is my like gift guide of gifts that I love. And there are so many closing gifts. So everybody can go check that out on my website and get those suggestions. But it's about how to really drive more personal connection.
And I think I saw it on your Instagram too. So people can catch that on your Instagram.
Yeah, there's a mini chat automation. I think it's the word gift. I'm sorry. I should have looked at that before we came on.
That's okay.
But yeah, I think it's, you can just DM me the word gift and you'll get it. But yeah, it's on my Insta.
Okay. Awesome.
And then the E stands for exceed expectations. And that's what we were talking about before is like, it's not enough to just, if you meet somebody's expectations, you will be forgotten. Like, meeting expectations is a world where apathy thrives. Like, you're doing just enough to like not get the job next time. in my book, I talk all about this idea of what I call intentional experience design. So for instance, like, are you paying attention throughout the process of all of the things people say that they want, they need, what they're drinking, what they're eating, so that when those people who closed on that house walk into their brand new house, you can stock the refrigerator with the things that they love, or you can have the, you know, welcome mat that, like, maybe your thing is you always do a welcome mat, but it's like a different welcome mat for everybody, because sometimes it's a photo of the family. Maybe it's their favorite team. Maybe it's a song lyric. Maybe it's something speaking to the fact that they're newlyweds, like whatever those things are. How can you be intentional about every single experience before, during, and after? So we know that the experience doesn't stop when somebody moves in. It's the months after, right? Like, how are you continuing to show up and be relevant to them, to help them when they need a painter, to help them when they need a roofer, to help them when they need a gardener, to help them when they need a lawn person, like all of the things that you know are going to continue to happen. What are the experiences that you're curating? What are the things that you're doing to earn the right to have that contact still be in their phone? Like, if somebody lost their contacts, would they take the time to like add you to that new phone, put you in that new phone if iCloud didn't copy it over for them?
I love when you say, you know, are you doing the things that earn the right? I mean, that's really, really important. I love that. Okay, where are we on that? Exceed.
We're an R. So okay. Yeah, exceed expectations. And then finally, to wrap a bow on it, it's R, and that stands for repeat. And this is one where a lot of entrepreneurs struggle and a lot of real estate agents struggle, because I think, like me, a lot of people maybe have undiagnosed ADHD or maybe diagnosed ADHD. Maybe they get that shiny object syndrome where it's like we want to do the new things and chase the new things. Repetition isn't boring. It's branding. Consistency compounds. Like, we've got to continue to do the things that work again and again and again. And I bet everybody listening to this, if they're honest, because I know I'm guilty of this and I know all my friends are guilty of this, there is something that we were doing for a long time that worked that at some point we stopped doing it. And we didn't stop doing it because it stopped working. We stopped doing it because we were like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I've done that 27 times in a row. I'm going to try something new. And we move on. And the compounding impact of that, of like moving on from those things, is a net negative to your business. And so repetition is so important. There's a quote in the book that I love from Elizabeth Arden. She said, repetition makes reputation, mm-hmm. and reputation makes customers.
It's so true. So I'm curious, you teach this all the time to a million different industries. How do you, as a speaker and an author, how do you implement it for your business?
Oh, I love this question. Thank you for asking. I have tried to be very intentional about the way that I design the experiences of me when I'm not on stage. So when I'm on stage, I have to be amazing. Again, that is the bar, right? Like, I am very intentional about the stories that I tell, the examples that I use. I use a tool called Mentimeter that allows me to have live interaction during all of my keynotes. So people scan a QR code and then they're co-creating slides with me. I'm doing polls. I'm asking questions. We're having fun experiences together. So that's the stage part. But I care as much about the before and the after. So the before is everything leading up to it. So that's the pre-event call, that's recording videos, that's any gifts that I'm doing, being really easy to work with. It always shocks me when people say, like, you're the easiest speaker we've ever booked to work with. And I'm thinking to myself, like, who are these dummies that are hard to work with? Like, that's your only job. Like, that's like me saying, like, how, like, that's literally the job. Like, why would somebody be difficult to work with? And yet apparently a lot of people are. And then again, after the fact, like, I've got dozens of resources, whether it's videos or PDFs or interactive quizzes that people can do to implement what I talk about and go make more money in their business. And I love that part of it, because again, I want people to judge my success not just on that hour on the stage. I know that has to be amazing, but how am I helping you take what I taught you and make more money moving forward? And so that's one way when I try to look at it and say, even though it may say, like, the contract says you're hiring me to be on stage for an hour, I'm looking at it as, how can I fundamentally change the way everyone in your company thinks about their job and the way they operate for, like, ever? what am I teaching them? It's not just on stages. Like, how are we continuing to do it? And that's why I think I get invited back again and again. That's why I have client relationships that turn into, like, multi-year engagements, because, like, that to me has to be the bar.
I'm just like listening to you and I'm like, I just want to squeeze more out of the sponge because like, I mean, everything you say just feels, it just resonates so beautifully. Like we should all be implementing these things. And what you're saying is not, it's like evergreen, right? Like any industry can implement what you're doing. Anybody can.
Absolutely. And the best part about it is most of the things that I talk about and most of the examples that I have in the book, or I've got a video series, it's called the 6 Weeks to Superfans Masterclass. There's actually a real estate edition of that. And the example that I, or the point that I make and the examples that I give again and again in that masterclass, I say, like, it's not the person who spends the most money wins, because you can't buy super fans. You don't pay people to be loyal to you. Like, it doesn't work.
No.
And so the really great thing about customer experience is that it's the ultimate leveler, and you're not going to lose out. You know, maybe there's somebody in your market who spends a ton of money on radio, who buys all the billboards, who spends a ton of money on social media. Well, fine. Those aren't the people you're going after.
Yeah.
Because we know that somebody is several times more likely to act on a personal recommendation than one from the media. And so your job is to make sure that nobody defaults to having to hire the guy they heard on TV or the lady they saw on the billboards because nobody in their network had somebody to recommend to them first.
Yeah.
Because most of those people are looking for somebody first. The fact that so many leads come from like Redfin and Zillow tells you that there are people like not getting a recommendation or a referral, either because they haven't asked or because they ask and then everybody kind of shrugged like, yeah, my experience was fine. It was okay. And it's like, roll the dice. Maybe you'll get somebody better.
Yeah.
So you've got to create those super fans one transaction at a time, one sell at a time. And when you do that, you will create super fans.
Yeah.
You will start to see people coming your way. And then the really cool thing is that we know statistically, when somebody comes to you because of a referral, they're about 4 times more likely to refer somebody else. So if they were referred to you by someone they knew, they are about 4 times more likely to refer somebody else, which means those customers that you get from your sphere of influence are 4 times as likely to bring you more new customers than those leads that you're paying for.
I hate when I hear people paying for leads. I hate it. Ugh. It's just, I mean, the conversion rate is so small. So with service providers like real estate agents, where do you see them struggle the most with implementing like a supermodel?
A couple places. One is the story. I think a lot of people have a hard time differentiating. Like they talk about things that I'm like, okay, who cares? Like what you're saying is what everybody else is saying. Like you can't tell me that you care the most because that's what everybody else is going to say. You can't tell me that you're the most available. Like everybody else is going to say that too. Stop trying to win on like commodity things.
Yeah.
It's got to be about who you are. I've got to trust you. Stop trying to tell me it's like that you've sold the most houses. Like it's like there should not be a number in your story that is the lead, right? Like that can be the supporting cast. That cannot be like the lead actor. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is consistency.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It's, you know, it's easy to do it when you're closing one home that month, but when you're closing three, like all bets are off. And so there's the things that you do sometimes, but not all the time. And that's where I see a lot of people really struggle. And it feels like in the moment, like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. There's so much to do. I'm going to just like let this one ball drop.
Yeah.
But when you think about the fact that those retained relationships are going to bring you more customers, it gets a lot harder to ignore doing those little things you know you need to do. You know, because in your mind, it's like, oh, well, that one's already closed. I already earned the commission. Yeah, but what about the next 8 commissions?
Yeah.
Like you do have time to send the handwritten note. You do have time to do the drop by. You do have time to make the introduction to, you know, the interior designer who's going to help them, whatever. Like you've got to find the time to do those things because they matter.
Yeah. And I think it's as simple as putting a system in place, you know, and when you get to a certain point where you've got, you know, more transactions than you can handle putting, you know, executing your system, that's when you need to bring somebody on to help support that. The other thing you mentioned about telling their story, I think this is my philosophy, I guess, or my opinion. I think real estate agents in particular, I think it takes being a little vulnerable to bring your story into the framework. And I think that real estate agents in particular, I can't speak for all industries, they don't learn how to sell that way, right? They learn how to be a certain professional way, keep it compartmentalized in a box, whatever it might be. And bringing your story, your personal story into the play, into the game, it doesn't make them feel comfortable. I think it's very uncomfortable. And so, I don't know, that's based on my own opinions being in this industry. So I think that takes work and practice.
Everything you said is 100% true. And I think the other part of that is that, I don't know who said this, there's a quote, it's like, I don't know who to attribute it to, but like, it's hard to read the nutritional label from inside the box. So the other thing that I think happens a lot is people are like, well, there's nothing unique about my story. Why would anybody care about this? It's so boring. It doesn't matter. And so it's hard for them to have that outside perspective. I did a really fun like live coaching thing with real estate agents probably 2 months ago.
Really?
And it was story makeovers. Yeah. And we had real estate agents tell their story. And then I asked them a few things about their lives. And then we rewrote like the way they talked about their story. And there was this one agent who had been a high school math teacher. And she was like, why does that matter? Why? Like, I don't want to talk about it. It's not relevant. And I was like, it's 1,000% relevant, because what do we know about teachers? We know that they're not in it for the money. We know that they're patient. We know that they're trustworthy. We know that they're going to teach us things. Like, they're going to be there to help us. They're going to have a lesson plan. Like, teaching is one of the absolute best prerequisites, I believe, that you could have before going into real estate. And then she was a high school math teacher. So I said, what if all of your stuff was like, you know how Ed Sheeran had all the like albums that were the symbols, like mm-hmm, multiply mm-hmm. and subtract and divide? I was like, what are all the things that you're going to do? Are you going to like subtract the stress? Are you going to add the details? Are you going to multiply the impact? Like, what are all your things? Like, oh, we've got to go all in. And then I was like, well, what are the things that you have, like, you know, are you going to have like tape measures with you always, or rulers? Like, well, there's a bajillion things that as a math teacher, that could be like your whole brand. And then people will think about you, not just when they're thinking about real estate, but when they're thinking about math.
Yeah.
Like, that should be your whole thing.
That's right.
And she had never even considered making that part of her story. And I was like, that is the most like fun, interesting, unique thing. And then somebody else on that call had knew all about diamonds. She used to host a reality show about like gemstones and stuff. And she was like, that has nothing to do with what I do. And I was like, are you kidding? You know how to find the diamond in a rough.
Yeah.
You know how to take like all of the analogies, all the things that you can do. I was like, are you into the like, do you know like crystals? Like, I know people have the, it's kind of like woo woo, but like the put this crystal here and do this for energy and that for this and whatever. And she was like, oh yeah. And I was like, that's amazing.
Right.
And all the like I've got two little ones. So the like where you dig through the clay and you find the gemstone and whatever. I was like, you could have so many fun things, whether it's activities at open houses or the kits that you make for kids or the arts and crafts for them to make the stepping stone for the garden. Like, go all in on that. Like, so I think part of it is everything you said about a hesitancy to like tell their story, talk about themselves, but also sometimes just not knowing how interesting and fun and cool the details of what they do sound to someone who hasn't lived that.
100%. And when you're, like you said, when you're in the box, you can't read the nutrition label, right? Like, when you're in it, you don't necessarily see that that's an added value. Brilliant.
Okay. Oh, Christine, keep going.
I know. Isn't this great? If an agent wanted to start creating superfans today, what would you recommend how would they start?
I love this question. I mean, selfishly, I'm going to say you could pick up my book or you could check out my masterclass.
Yes.
But assuming that you want to start even before doing that, ask yourself, what's one thing that you're committed to doing that's going to set you apart from everybody else? Just ask yourself the question and sit with it, and you'll hear an answer. You'll know what it is. And your thing is going to be different than everyone else's thing. And that's right. It should be because you are different from everyone else. So pick one thing and start doing it.
Love it.
And then see how it goes. And then maybe you add another thing, or maybe you tweak that thing, but choose one thing. Because here's the deal. If you can't answer the question, why should I pick you instead of any of the other people I could choose? If you don't know the answer to that and you can't defend that like to your bones, then the truth is you're still competing as a commodity provider.
Yeah.
you've not figured out that thing that makes you that category of one. Yeah. And that is the thing that you need to figure out. Because if people don't know why they should be your super fan, it's very, very hard to get them to be.
And that word apathy just makes me feel like Eeyore, you know, like, it's like, who wants to be unforgettable?
And this actually connects perfectly to what we've been talking about, because clarity in your business isn't just about marketing, it's about what's happening behind the scenes too. If you're a solopreneur, you know how this goes. Receipts everywhere, expenses forgotten, and then tax season shows up and, well, it's just not fun, right? That's exactly why we built Beekeeper AI. Beekeeper AI is an AI-powered, human-verified, conversational, text-based expense assistant designed for solopreneurs. No apps to open, no software to learn, no tax season scrambling. You simply text your expenses as they happen. Beekeeper AI captures them, and a real human verifies everything so nothing slips through the cracks. We're opening early access right now, and I'd love for you to be part of it. Head to beekeeperai.com/waitlist to sign up. That's the letter B, keeperai.com/waitlist. I'll see you there.
As we start to wrap up, a couple things. First thing is, I would love for you to finish this sentence. No, like trust is
harder than ever in the age of AI, which is why recommendations and referrals from people who actually know it will matter even more in the next decade than they have in the past millennia.
Awesome. Brittany, this is amazing. If you're watching, this is Brittany's book, Creating Superfans. I read it in you could sit and read it in a day. Like, it's just, but I kept going back and, like, you know, earmarking, and it's just so many great examples in here, and it can be applied to any industry. We're going to put your masterclass in the show notes. We're going to put a link to your book in the show notes. It's just been amazing having you on. I'm just so happy that you said yes. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Yes, this has been so much fun. Thank you to everybody out there listening. I can't wait to hear about all of the incredible things that you guys do to create superfans.
Thanks so much for listening. If you loved our conversation, I would love it if you click that subscribe or follow from wherever you're listening from. And make sure you check out Brittany Hodak at brittanyhodak.com. You can purchase her book, Creating Superfans. And also, if you're a real estate agent, she has a master class especially for real estate agents. I really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you again. And you have been listening to the Know, Like, Trust for Real Estate podcast.